I never imagined myself to be this stay-at-home mom person. I always thought, okay, I'm going to be this career-driven woman. I worked really hard. I had all these goals and ambitions for myself. But then all of a sudden I had this new path for myself. And so being a stay-at-home mom felt like a failure to me. And it didn't feel like it was anything important. It didn't feel like a good job, a good role. I didn't feel like I was doing anything to give back to society or to my family. And so that was a huge struggle for me.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Have you ever felt like being a mom was nothing, like it was inconsequential, like you weren't accomplishing much of anything? And have you ever felt overwhelmed in the process? Well, Kara K. James can relate. We're going to talk about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I want to know about your first months as a mom. So was it heavenly mom bliss? I mean, I know you got to recover from delivering a baby and all of that, but were you just in mom heaven in the first months as a mom?
I felt like a semi-truck hit me, and I was laying on the ground thinking, what has happened to my life?
Like for months you felt that way?
For months, yes.
Really?
And I felt pretty competent and secure in most areas of my life, and I felt confident going into motherhood. I'd read books. I'd been to Bible studies with other moms, and I thought, okay, I'm going to be great at this, not realizing this would be the hardest season of my life when they were little.
So when you picked up the book Mom Up by our guest today, Kara K. James, you went, I can so relate to this.
Exactly. And I thought, thank you for writing about this.
Yeah. Kara K., welcome to Family Life Today.
Thanks for having me.
Kara K. and her husband, Brooke, live in Wichita Falls, Texas. Kara K. is a blogger. In fact, a lot of our listeners may follow her on the Thrive Moms blog. The book Mom Up is about thriving with grace in the chaos of motherhood. And what Anne described, you were right there with her, maybe even amped up a little bit from what she described, right? Because your first months of motherhood were awful.
They were. They were awful. First years. And I mean, I would almost say still are many days.
Wait, did you go into it with the idealized, I'm going to be great at this?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I have a perfectionist personality. Anything I go into, I'm set out to do it right, do it well. And so when I went into motherhood, I thought, I'm going to do this really well. I'm going to be the best at this. I'm going to do it great. And so, you know, I even struggled to read some of the parenting books when I became a new mom, or even before I was a mom, because I thought, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. And I'm going to figure this out on my own, and I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it the best. And then I had a baby that was not what I expected.
Well, I love what you say. You said, I was a great mom until I had kids.
Exactly. I could tell you how to do it. And now when people ask me parenting advice, I say, oh, don't ask me. I don't have any idea what I'm doing.
Actually, your pregnancy, your first pregnancy was pretty rough, right?
Yes. Yes. My pregnancies were all very rough. I carried my first baby 42 weeks. And so she just did not want to come out into this world.
And sick most of the time?
Sick the whole pregnancy. And I was working full time. I was an event planner. I was on my feet all the time. I was working 60, 70 hours a week sometimes. And so it was just a struggle. And so all of it was a challenge, but I was still determined, I'm going to do this really, really well. And then she was born and she had colic. And it was like, what's wrong with this baby? What's wrong with me? Why am I not doing this
right? Did you start doubting yourself?
Yes, absolutely. So I doubted that I was doing things right. I doubted her. I doubted my, you know, our capabilities as a couple, that we were able to do this parenting thing. I quit my job and stayed home, but I was miserable, completely miserable, because it wasn't anything like I imagined that it would be.
I mean, she's not sleeping at night.
Oh, no.
At all.
No.
Now, let me ask you this. Is the husband helping?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
He was great help.
So yeah. He was great.
But he was still working, so he helped when he could. And so I had quit my job to stay home to take care of her and to do the mom thing. And that was a really hard transition for me, because I never imagined myself to be this stay-at-home mom person. I always thought, okay, I'm going to be this career-driven woman. I worked really hard. I had all these goals and ambitions for myself. But then I, all of a sudden, I had this new path for myself. And so being a stay-at-home mom felt like a failure to me. And it didn't feel like it was anything important. It didn't feel like a good job, a good role. I didn't feel like I was doing anything to give back to society or to my family. And so that was a huge struggle for me.
So I want to jump in on that because this is a decision you guys made for you to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yes.
So going into being a stay-at-home mom, were you thinking this is the right thing to do, or were you thinking I'm settling for less then?
A little bit of both because of what my career was. I was an event planner. I worked so many hours. I knew that it wasn't really the right job that I could do for my family at that time because I wasn't able to see my daughter and my husband the way that I wanted to.
Right.
And so either I would have to go find a different job or I would have to, we would make some major sacrifices. And I know that many women don't have the capabilities of staying home. And so we decided, okay, we're going to make some big sacrifices. My husband is a pastor, so it's not like we were rolling in millions of dollars that we could say, oh, we got plenty, we're fine. So it was a really difficult decision to say, I'm going to do this, but we just felt like it was the right thing at that time for me to have the time to spend with my daughter at that age.
So here's the thing I want to take apart a little bit, because you felt like it was the right thing, mm-hmm. but then in doing it, you're feeling like I'm settling for less than, I'm not being the woman I should be. I think a generation ago, and maybe you can tell me, and I think a generation ago, there were more young women who grew up thinking, if I'm a wife and a mom, that's a good thing, and it's something where I'm contributing and I'm doing what's important, and this matters. And I think today, among your generation, there are many fewer young women who think to be a stay-at-home mom is a right and good thing, and I'm fulfilling a significant mandate if I'm doing this. Has the voice of the culture so reached in that it said to young women, motherhood is insignificant, and unless you're contributing in the marketplace, you're not really doing anything important?
I think it has. I think a lot of women feel like being a mom is inconsequential. If you're not providing somehow to your family financially, if you're not doing something to put back into the world in some way, we feel like we're not doing something. And we don't see that what we're doing of raising our children to be something to put into the world. And I do see that the culture has shifted in that way, that we look at our role as a parent. And I think dads struggle with this too. This, I don't think this is just a mom thing, that we look at our roles in this world and we think, oh, well, my career is really important because whatever that job is that I'm doing, you know, and then these other things fall under there. But raising our kids and teaching them about Jesus and teaching them to grow to be responsible human beings that can give back to society and that can grow to know God and love Him very well can be the best thing and the greatest thing that we ever do.
Yeah. And yet, you didn't feel that. And I, you know, I'm sitting here looking at two different generations of moms. Mm-hmm. And I know I can't speak for Ann, but I can remember what she told me. Same thing you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, you felt the same thing, even in a different generation.
Yeah.
I remember you saying exactly what Kara Kay's saying right now. It's like, I'm doing nothing.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I went from a thriving ministry to being at home, and I felt like I'm doing nothing to contribute to the kingdom.
Yes.
Even though I knew like I'm raising this disciple, I know this. And then I'd go to the grocery store exhausted with no makeup, with my sweatpants on, and the woman would grab me and say, oh, honey, this is such a wonderful time in your life that just flies by. And I remember thinking, every day feels like a million years.
Yes.
And so here you are. You're struggling. You have this baby at home, and then you get pregnant again.
Yes.
A couple times.
A couple times, yeah.
So as Dave said, you had three kids.
Yes.
Three and under. What was going on then?
So we decided we want to have more kids. Let's just get this over with. The pregnancies were challenging. So
it wasn't necessarily getting better.
No, it wasn't getting better. And we just said, okay, let's do it. Let's get it over with. Maybe it'll get better. And so we had three under three. My oldest was still two when my youngest of the three was born. And so I had a newborn, a one-year-old, and a two-year-old. And that year, I joke now, but I always say that I don't remember anything about the first year of her life. But in so many ways, it's true, because I was so tired mentally, emotionally. I was so disconnected and so tired and weary and burned out that I just wasn't there. I wasn't present.
Physical exhaustion, but also postpartum depression.
Yes. Yeah. So I walked through a really tough season of anxiety, depression, and I had always seen mental illness as something that people who aren't strong deal with.
So you saw it as a weakness.
I did. I saw it as a weakness because, as I told you, I'm a type A person. I'm an Enneagram 1. I am a, I'm a strong person. And so those kind of things to me were weaknesses. And I didn't understand. I just had never really gotten to the point that I understood, or had never really even walked through anything like that with a close friend. And so I didn't understand what mental illness truly was until I walked through it myself.
And how did you discover that's where you were at? I mean, I read about the sippy cup.
Yes.
Which is sort of a moment.
Yeah. I had never been an angry person. I've never been the type of person, my husband and I don't really ever fight angrily, yelling or anything like that. I've never been the type of person to yell at people until I lost it with my kids. And we're talking tiny children. My two-year-old wasn't putting something away correctly, and I was losing it, yelling at her. And I tell the story in the book that I threw a sippy cup of juice against the wall. And it was this out-of-body experience of watching myself and thinking, who is this person? This is not me. I'm put together. I'm calm. I'm collected. But something about motherhood has unraveled me. And so I finally just told my husband, something's wrong with me. And that was challenging to admit, because it's hard to sometimes admit that we have a struggle, that something's going on. And I didn't even realize what it was at the time. And so he said, you know, let's go talk to the doctor just to see. And as I talked through some of the things, we realized that that's what was going on.
That what was going on?
That I was dealing with postpartum anxiety and depression. And I started having panic attacks, and I wasn't able to drive for a while because I was afraid behind the wheel, and I couldn't go to church for a while. Crowds were really everything was overwhelming to me. And just having the young kids was overwhelming to me. And so many of the things in my life were really, really overwhelming.
I mean, you even write, I mean, it was shocking as I read it, but you're driving and thinking about, I don't want to keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking real depression.
Yeah. And it was hard. And a lot of it was, I never really had like suicidal thoughts, but I had, how can I get myself out of this for a little while thoughts? Mm. Because it's the daily exhaustion and it feels like it's never going to end and you're never going to get a break.
Well, and you mentioned maybe you could just go to the ER for
exactly.
a day and that would be a vacation.
There were so many times that I thought, how could I break my arm? How, like, a broken bone would be fine, but it might get me a trip to the hospital. Maybe they'd be worried about me enough that they'd admit me. And it's funny, like, we laugh about it, but those were serious thoughts in my head at that point because I just needed an escape so bad. And it made me realize there's so many women that have these thoughts. And I had help. My parents lived close. They would come and watch the kids. And there was a while that I didn't want to be alone with my kids. I never had the feeling of hurting my kids. And I'm so thankful for that. And I know so many women walk through that of feeling that feeling of wanting to hurt their kids. And if you're listening and you feel that, I really, really recommend talking to somebody and reaching out for help. You know, I think that we have to ask for help. And that's the hardest thing for us to do as women, because we feel like we have to do it all on our own.
It feels like failure.
It does.
And it feels like, what's wrong with me?
Yes.
That I can't be, and especially at your age, Kara Kay, you've been watching people on social media that look like these moms are doing everything. And they seem to be thriving in this stage. Did you feel guilty in that era?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so what happened?
I I was attending some Bible studies and walking through this with some different women, and I got help. I was on a lot of medication, and, you know, I had to just come to grips with the fact that that's okay. It was okay to get help in whatever means that was necessary for me in that season of life. It was about a year that I walked through it, and it took a while for my body to get back to normal, for my mind to get back to normal, for me to feel somewhat normal again. And I started feeling somewhat normal. And I mean, life was still crazy. My house was chaos. And I had to just understand every day, this is going to be chaos. But I was doing a lot of reading in that time. And I had some older women that were mentoring me and just walking through that season and helping me understand that who God says that I was in that season really helped me and did a lot of transformation in my heart, because there was so much that I thought I had changed completely. And I thought I wasn't worthy of God's love anymore because I was so broken and was so damaged, and I wasn't good enough to be the mom to these kids that he had given me. And God kept coming back and saying, I've never changed, and I'm always right here, and this is who I say that you are. And that was so redemptive for me.
Your youngest is how old now?
She is 9 now.
So we're going back 9 years to this phase of motherhood for you. If you could go back and redo it, if you knew then what you know now, how would the experience be different?
I don't know if I would change anything.
Really?
Honestly, yes.
Even the moms that are going through that, what's your encouragement to them?
I would say the most important thing is to ask for help. And thankfully I did. I think I felt like because it had a title on it, that there were other women that were out there saying, oh, postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety is real, that it made me feel like it was okay. And that was what helped me speak up about it, because I wanted other women to know this is a real thing that real people deal with. And I've even struggled with anxiety and things since then. And I think I had an easier time dealing with the postpartum because I felt like the hormones were there. It was all because of that, that I was able to almost blame it on something, if that makes sense. I was almost able to put this label on it and say, it's because of what I walked through. It was because of the season of life I was in. It was so overwhelming that I was able to go through this, and I had so much help to walk through it with a supportive husband that was there for me no matter what. And he got me through that. And thankfully, my kids came out on the other side, and they don't remember anything from that season.
That's sweet of God.
I'm so glad they were so young and don't remember mom sitting there crying every single day.
What's the truth you know now that could have combated some of the misconceptions or the lies you were believing
back
then?
I think maybe just having more knowledge and having the people that could help me more that have been through it and understand it, because I didn't know anything about it going into it. It was just something, a term that I had heard before. And I think so many times we blindly like hear about things and, oh, I've heard this term of something, but I don't know anything about it. And I wish I had known more about mental health walking into it.
And you mentioned your husband, you know, helping you through it. I'm thinking of the husband listening. And even when, if Ann goes through something, you know, sometimes I'm stuck.
Yes.
What did your husband do, and what can a husband do?
And that's so hard, because he always would say, I don't know what to do. And I think that's just really wise, is for the husband just to say, what can I do? What can I do? When I'm having a hard day, he'll say, what can I do? And sometimes I give him an answer, and sometimes I just say, I don't know. I don't know. Nothing. And I would say, just be there and be willing, because sometimes the wife doesn't necessarily know what she needs. She may not know what she's feeling and is trying to sort out all these feelings. And so my husband is a fixer, and which I think probably most men are. And so I told him early on with this, don't try to fix me. just be here. And that's helped us a lot. And there are times that something's going on with me and I'll say, okay, you can fix me. You can fix the situation. And he gets really excited because he's ready to fix. But then there's other times that I say, I don't need the situation fixed. I need you to just be here.
In the middle of those early years, you were looking and going, I'm doing nothing, nothing of any significance or any value. 9 years into the process, as you look at your three kids, and you've added.
Yes, we have another, a fourth now.
And through adoption, right?
Yes, through adoption.
As you look at this, do you see the significance in what you've invested your life in over the last 9 years?
I do. I do now. And I think it's so hard for moms with little ones. It's hard when you're doing the cleaning up, the wiping, the changing diapers, the when they can't communicate with you. I think,
or can't even smile yet.
When they can't do anything. Those years are so challenging. But when you can start communicating with them, when you can see the fruits of your labor, those years are rewarding. And I'm in a really challenging time right now with elementary. The elementary years are challenging, but they're also really rewarding because we're in a sweet spot of really being able to mold and help. This is the time that they're soaking up everything and they're little sponges. And it's just really fun to be able to lean into that season. And just with my oldest right now, that was so challenging as a baby. Now she's just this amazing kid. And it's so fun to watch her grow. And we joke that she's my little clone and she's so much like me. And it's just really amazing to watch them turn into their own little people.
And you're in the training years of elementary years. You're in the continual teaching and training. And Bob, it's interesting when you said you felt like you were doing nothing. That happened to me. We had three little boys, five and under. And I remember getting on my knees saying to God, I am doing nothing for your kingdom. Which was interesting because even as a doer, you're a doer, you're a type A, that's me. And I realized a lot of my worth was coming from thinking I was doing for God. And I remember when I was on my knees that day, I said, God, I'm doing nothing for you. And I felt like he said, and you don't have to do anything for me to be loved by me. I love you no matter what you do or don't do. And it was kind of this freeing aspect. And the other thing I realized too, and I talk to young moms now, where I'll take this cup of dirt, and that's all it is. It's a cup and it has dirt in it. And it's a clear cup. And I said, you know, in those early years of preschoolers, you feel like you see no growth. The plant isn't coming up. Nothing is happening that brings you satisfaction. And yet the most important part of that plant are the roots that are going deep. And those years we are building, we're doing things just for us to be in the home.
Yes.
And to love them and kiss them goodnight and to pray for them. That's where building that root system. And it matters.
You glad you made that investment?
I'm really glad. Because now I look back and I think those were hard years, but those years probably changed me more than my kids. And
absolutely.
I think that's the truth of motherhood. Those years change us and we rely on God of saying, God, I can't do this apart from you.
I just don't want moms listening to lose a sense of the absolute significance of shaping the lives of young people, pointing them to Jesus, working on that root structure, molding the direction of their lives. I mean, we're talking about human beings. Here's the thing. When you're in the workplace, you got people going, oh, you're really good at this. Way to go. High five. You get a bonus. At home, you've got kids going, Mom, right? And so you're not going to get the reward system at home that you get in the marketplace. And I sometimes think the idea that I'm not significant is because there's nobody cheering me on. Well, I want to cheer on the moms who are at home and your kids are griping and whining and just go, look, you're doing something that is so incredibly significant for the lives of your kids, for the next generation, for the legacy you're going to leave. just persevere at this and mom up, okay? I mean, that's the book title from the book that Kara's written, Mom Up, Thriving with Grace in the Chaos of Motherhood. We've got copies of the book in our Family Life Today Resource Center, and you can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to get your copy. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com. The number to call to get a copy of the book, Mom Up, is 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And let me just mention here, both moms and dads could benefit from some interaction with other moms and dads and a little bit of coaching at the same time. Family Life has created the 8-part video series. It's a small group series called The Art of Parenting. And I'm excited to see a lot of churches that are doing classes or using this in small groups. Find out more about how you can go through the art of parenting with other moms and dads when you go to familylifetoday.com. The kit includes a copy of our movie Like Arrows, which is a great way to kick off your parenting study together. Watch the movie and then get together to go through the classes. Again, find out more at familylifetoday.com. Hey, and while you're on our website, we've got something free for you to download that will help you as a mom or a dad engage your kids and help cultivate a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness in your children. We have created what we call the Family Gratitude Plan. There are activities and articles available in the plan, just some creative things you can do as a family to help everybody be more thankful during this time of year. Download the free Family Gratitude Plan when you go to our website, familylifetoday.com. These resources that we're providing are part of our mission to effectively develop godly marriages and families. We believe godly marriages and families can change the world. So we hope this kind of practical, biblical help for your marriage and your family is something that you find beneficial. Again, our website is familylifetoday.com. Now, tomorrow we'll continue our conversation with Kara K. James talking about the chaos of motherhood and where you find grace in the middle of all of that. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.